In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, and trembling, he said, "How terrible is this place? This is no other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. Terrible as an army set in array. The vision of Jacob of the heavenly ladder with angels ascending and descending upon it up to heaven and down to earth has been consecrated to the introit of the Mass we celebrate today, the feast of the dedication of the Archbasilica of St. John Lateran, the Archbasilica of the Most Holy Savior. This church is known as the mother and mistress of all Catholic churches throughout the world, being the oldest publicly consecrated church, having received this consecration at the hands of Pope St. Sylvester I at the year 324 AD. Emperor Constantine the Great, having defeated Maxentius and come to power, a new era of peace and freedom from persecution for the church had dawned, and it was only appropriate that she move out of the catacombs and start offering the holy sacrifice to God in churches in public. We see a parallel between these words of Jacob, "How terrible is this place, the house of God and the gate of heaven," from the book of Genesis, and the words from the Canticle of Canticles. "Who is she that cometh forth as the morning rising, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army set in array?" Who is she? We would be terribly remiss if we did not see here a veiled reference to Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary. It is indeed there, and for a reason. The fact of the matter is that a church, a Catholic church or cathedral or basilica, is a wonderful image of the Blessed Mother. She it is who stands before the church, between the church and her divine Son, interceding for us without pause, with the never failing mercy and goodness that only a mother can have for errant and wayward children, and drawing down upon our souls untold graces. She it is who shelters us under her mantle and protection, who brings us in to the presence of God. Now, why do I have the Blessed Mother on my mind? To start with, we should always be thinking of her, because it is only through Mary that we can go to Jesus Christ and receive his salvation and all of his graces. She is the necessary channel to him, necessary because it is God's holy will. In addition to this, however, there was a development this week that I will comment on to some extent in this sermon. The document was released by the Dicastery for the Doctrine of the Faith that has apparently discouraged or even rejected certain traditional titles of Our Lady, to wit, Mediatrix of all graces and Co-Redemptrix of the human race, Marian titles that have been in existence since at least the Middle Ages, even earlier, and which have enjoyed the support of numerous erudite and holy popes, including in our own time, Pope St. John Paul II. I will not hide from you the fact that I was dismayed, saddened, even shocked by this development. I think that most of the time I do not comment much on the news and sermons. Sermons aren't usually the place for that. And who cares about my opinions, anyway? But when it comes to our Blessed Mother, I cannot in good conscience refrain from doing so. Mary was in the very beginning of my conversion to the Catholic faith, with a sermon I heard about her, and then a conversation with her. A conversation that I had about her with a Catholic lady. I remember how it did take some time for me to give up my Protestant scruples with addressing Our Lady by certain titles, like Mediatrix of all graces, but how God eventually wiped these away until they vanished entirely. It was Mary's intercession that I relied upon in getting through seminary, and it is thanks to her that any good will come from my priesthood. She was always with me, just as she was always with each one of you. Who are you if you don't speak up for your mother? Who is always in your corner, taking your side, if not your mother? Who is always there for you, if not your mother? Who will always come to your rescue and make up for your failings and supply what is lacking, if not your mother? Who will always defend and protect you, if not your mother? Who will always bring you good things, if not your mother? And so, who are we if we will not speak up for our mother, the mother of God? Yes, the mother of God. Mary is not simply, as some would have it, the mother of Jesus, or the mother of the faithful, or the mother of the people of God. Mary is the mother of God. The mother of God. Thus, she was declared already in the year 431 AD by the Council of Ephesus, the early church, and then again 20 years later at the Council of Chalcedon. Who can fathom the singular privileges of being the mother of God? It was the heretic Nestorius who said that Mary can only be called the mother of Jesus, the mother of the man Jesus, that is. It was his heresy that was anathematized by the Council of Ephesus. Because to say that Mary is only the mother of Jesus results in dividing Jesus Christ up into two different persons. One a divine person, and the other just a man. Now this is an intolerable heresy. Jesus Christ is one person. He is the eternal Word of God. And he took to himself a human nature in the work of the Incarnation, in the womb of Mary. But a mother does not give birth to a nature. A mother gives birth to a person. And Mary gave birth to Jesus Christ, God made man. She is, therefore, truly the mother of God. And being the mother of God, Mary also deserves to be called mediatrix of all graces. We have to remember God made the redemption of the human race dependent on Mary's free will acceptance of the divine plan of the Incarnation. She had to accept freely and deliberately after having explained to her by the Archangel Gabriel how this would work, to have Jesus Christ take flesh in her womb and be born as her child. We only have the grace of our Lord's redemption because of Mary, because God willed it thus. So already in her acceptance of this plan, she has won for us all graces because she accepted to be the channel through which our Lord comes to us, from whom all graces originate. It should come as no surprise to anyone that she continues to exercise this most noble office from her throne in heaven, the Queen who reigns alongside with her King, our Lord Jesus Christ. And this has been affirmed by the fathers of the early church, like, among others, Saint Ephrem of Syria, who said of Mary, "After the mediator, thou art the mediatrix of the whole world." This title, Mediatrix, is also ascribed to Mary by Pope Pius IX in his encyclical In Affabilis Deus of 1854, defining the Immaculate Conception, and in the encyclicals Ad Utricem and Fidentem of Pope Leo XIII. And these are only a few in a long list. When it comes to the title of co-redemptrix of the human race, again, I would like to ask, why should we not continue to accord this venerable and ancient title to Our Lady? No one in their right minds who has the Catholic faith would attempt to say that Mary accomplished that which is absolutely necessary for redeeming fallen man, the part that only Jesus Christ can accomplish, because he is God. We readily assent to the words of St. Paul that there is one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ, because this means that his mediation is absolutely necessary to our redemption and our salvation. And this he did, and he did it alone, by his death on the cross. But if each one of us can have a certain part to fulfill in the redemption of Christ by the intercessory prayers that we offer on behalf of one another, and thus become, in some sense, co-redeemers, why cannot Our Lady? Indeed, it is she who merits the title of co-redemptrix par excellence, and in a singular and unique way, because of her privileged cooperation in God's plan. And this part unique to Mary is already mentioned by God in a veiled way in the first book of the Bible. The serpent, Satan, is told that he shall lie in wait for the heel of the woman who shall crush his head. We can see her earthly cooperation with the redemption culminating in her presence at the cross of her dying son and in the offering of his death before the throne of God. And this has always been recognized by the faithful and by the hierarchy, including many holy popes and popes of the modern era, such as by Pope Leo XIII and his encyclical Supremi Apostolatus, or the encyclical Ad Celi Reginam of Pope Pius XII. And these are only a few. There's a long list, multiple popes. So why did I find it necessary to speak to you about the Mother of God today? Because we owe it to her. We need her. We would have nothing without her. Nothing! In a recent article by the esteemed Dr. Roberto Mattei, the good doctor recounts a chapter from the works of the British writer Edmund Burke, who, though a Protestant, cast a forlorn glance on the fate that befell the Queen of France, Marie Antoinette, the wife of the slain King Louis XVI, in that ugliest chapter of European history, the French Revolution. This noble queen met her fate at the guillotine, like her king and husband before her. Burke wrote in 1791, "It is now 16 or 17 years since I first saw the Queen of France, then the Dauphine at Versailles. And surely never did a more graceful vision come to visit this earth, which she seemed to barely touch. I saw her at first, rising on the horizon, decorating and cheering that elevated sphere in which she had just begun to move, shining like the morning star, full of splendor and joy. Oh, what a revolution. What a heart I must have to contemplate that elevation and that fall without emotion. I never dreamed I would live long enough to see such a disaster befall a nation of such gallant men, men of honor and knights. In my imagination, I saw 10,000 swords rise from their sheaths to avenge so much as a glance that threatened her with an insult. But the age of chivalry is over. The age of sophists, economists, and accountants is in. And the glory of Europe lies extinguished forever. If we wish to honor the legacy of those gallant men, those men who are Catholics and who are products of the age of faith, the high Middle Ages, when the church was at the height of her ascendancy, and her beneficent influence was being spread the most effectively throughout society, we must defend our mother. The Mother of God deserves no less. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.